Amen. Thank you, ladies. Well, good evening. It's good to see you, and thanks for letting us come and be here tonight and be a part of these services for the next couple of weeks. Jerry and I are thrilled to be a part of Quail Springs Baptist Church. We are just honored to get to be here, and we kind of feel like some of the worst members around because we're in and out so much. But when we're here, we're here, and when we're not here, we're not here. That's because we're preaching somewhere else or doing whatever the Lord's assigned us to do. In fact, I think we were looking at the calendar the other day, and I think I'm preaching 13 times somewhere in the month of March. So there goes retirement for March, amen? But we're glad to be here and get to be a part of what's happening. By the way, folks, and I know you know this, but I cannot miss the opportunity. Don't you love our pastor? My goodness, don't you love our pastor? I have the joy of preaching in a lot of places at this point in our life. And I tell you now, we are blessed mightily. We are blessed mightily, and I'm just proud of him. Aren't you proud of him? I mean, my goodness, even when he's away preaching other places, I hear about it. I said, man, that's my pastor. I'm proud of him. What a wonderful thing. Aren't you glad we got a preacher others want to hear? I mean, isn't that good, you know? Wouldn't you hate to have somebody nobody wanted to hear? Wouldn't that be bad? But what a thrill it is to be here and to be a part of this church, what God's doing. Well, I want you to open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, and tonight and next Sunday night and the next Sunday night, we're going to be examining some scriptures from Luke 22. I'm not a very good topical preacher. Somebody says to me, would you preach on this particular topic? I don't do that very well. But if I can take just a section of Scripture and just kind of expose it, that's where I am. That's where my heart is. And so we're going to just kind of take these verses over the next few weeks, and we're just going to kind of expose God's Word and see what He has to say to us. Now, here's where we are in this passage of Scripture. And what we're going to be dealing with tonight is the idea of missing the intimacy of Jesus. Missing the intimacy of Jesus. Now, Jesus is in the midst of the Last Supper, what we know of as the Last Supper. He's in the midst of this Passover supper with his disciples, and he is within hours of the mock trials. He's in hours of the crucifixion and all that goes in that process. So look with me, beginning in verse 14 of Luke 22. And I'd like to ask you to stand with me, if you would, in honor of the Word of the Lord and in honor of the Lord of the Word. And so look with me in Luke 22, beginning in verse 14. And I'll be reading to you and teaching out of the New American Standard Bible. That's very close to ESV, which our pastor uses. But listen carefully. I want to read slowly and distinctly and just listen if you can hear Jesus just wanting to have this intimate relationship with these disciples, these apostles. Just listen. When the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with mine on the table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be who was going to do this thing. And there arose also a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be the greatest. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I don't want to I don't want to be real hard on the disciples tonight. I think sometimes we are prone to kind of be hard on some folks in the Bible when we weren't there and didn't understand all that was going on and understand everything that was taking place in their life. And so I don't want to be real hard on them, and that's really not my purpose at all tonight. I just want to look at this text and see what's going on and see how they missed the intimacy of Jesus. Now, I want you to look at something with me that's very, very interesting. Jesus is getting ready to have the Passover supper with these disciples. Now, I want you to notice something that he says that's very, very interesting. You may know, probably do know, in the Greek language, there are emphatic words. And you know those emphatic words by where they are in a sentence or their ending. And as you read through a passage of Scripture and you find emphatic words, well, really, you ought to emphasize those. Even when you read them, you ought to read them with emphasis. And they're words that kind of the red flags ought to come up and say, let's look at that. Let's see what that's all about. Well, I want you to see something. This is so interesting. Look at what happens. Go back with me to verse 14. The hour had come, and he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. Now look at this. He said to them, I have earnestly desired. Now stop right there just a moment. That word earnestly is I've set my heart on. Desire is the idea that actually it's a word that means I long for. It's a word that can mean to crave. It's even a word that can mean to lust. All right, so look at what Jesus is saying here. He says, I have earnestly desired. I have craved something. I've longed for something. I've really wanted something. Now look at this. That word earnestly desired is emphatic. So he says, I have earnestly desired. Now think about him speaking to these disciples. I have earnestly desired. Now look at this. To eat this Passover. This Passover is emphatic. They'd had other Passovers. They'd been together at other times. They'd had other meals. But he says, I have longed, I have desired, I have been craving, I have earnestly, fervently wanted this Passover. Others have been fine, but I've wanted this one. And you continue through this, and he says, for I shall I never eat this again. And we're going to talk about that in a moment until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Now, he goes through that. He talks about being betrayed. And then it gets down to verse 23. And they is emphatic. And they, I mean, can you see the picture? Jesus is saying, I have earnestly desired this Passover. I've wanted this Passover. And he begins to tell them why. And then you get down to verse 23, and Luke says, and they began to discuss among themselves which one it was that it might be. That word discuss means to investigate. They begin to investigate one another. And then you get to verse 24, and there arose a dispute, a quarrel, strife among them of which one of them was regarded. What an interesting word. So that points back to Jesus. Which one of them was regarded? Which one of them did Jesus regard to be the greatest? I mean, weren't they something around that table with him? Which one of them did Jesus regard? Which one of them did Jesus say, "Oh, I regard him to be the greatest"? Now, beloved, without a doubt, without being too hard on the disciples here, without a doubt, they have missed the intimacy of Jesus. They've missed this deal. And here's the thing about it. In just a few hours, they're going to need the intimacy of Jesus. I mean, in just a little bit, boy, they're going to need the closeness of Jesus. They're going to need to have an understanding of Jesus. They're going to need to be able to walk with Jesus. They're going to need to be able to stand with Jesus. Peter denies him. The rest of them run. I mean, they missed the intimacy of Jesus. Now, beloved, here's a truth we don't want to miss. You and I never know when we're going to need the closeness of Jesus. We just never know. I mean, we need him all the time, right? But I'm just telling you, I'll be 69 here next month. At 69 years of age, there's sometimes I need him closer than other times. And boy, there's times in your life when you need him extremely close. Amen? So how could we keep from missing the intimacy of Jesus? Well, that's what I want us to deal with tonight. And so let's walk through the scripture, and I want to share with you three thoughts on how we could not miss the intimacy of Jesus. Here's the first truth. Stay kingdom focused. Just stay kingdom focused. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus is doing. Look at how Jesus is focused when he's speaking. Okay? Now, you look at verse 14, the hour had come, and he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Now, look at this. Verse 16. "For I say to you, I shall never again," those words are emphatic, "I shall never again eat it." Now think, here's Jesus, Passover supper. He says, I'm not going to do this again. This is not going to happen again. This meal is not going to happen again. I will never eat it again. But now look at this. Until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. I'm not going to do this again until it's fulfilled in the kingdom. What's fulfilled? Until all of this that it represents. Until his death is fulfilled. Until his resurrection is fulfilled. Until he... Listen, the kingdom of God is... And in fact, you'll notice he says in verse 16, "I'll not do it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God." The idea is the kingdom of God is not here yet, but it's coming. It will be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So you got to ask yourself, when is that? Well, I believe that's a reference to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I think that's a reference to when Jesus Christ will come. There will be a marriage supper, the scripture says. And following that marriage supper, he will establish his kingdom. He'll come back to this earth. There'll be a final battle. He will eventually establish his reign and rule over all of this earth and over all creation. Eventually, there's a new heaven and a new earth. Do you see what Jesus is saying? He's saying, "I want you to know right now, tonight, I am looking toward the kingdom. I am focused in on the kingdom. I will never do this again, but there is a kingdom coming when I'll do it. There is going to be a kingdom fulfilled when I'll do it. I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to do this again, but there is a coming kingdom when it will be fulfilled." And he is just focused in on the kingdom of God. So here he is trying to have this intimate relationship with his disciples. And how's he doing that? He's focusing on the kingdom, see. And then you go ahead and look at more of this, and he just continually stays focused on the kingdom. And in verse 17, it says, "When he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, 'Take this and share it among yourselves.' And he said, 'I will not drink,'" look at this, verse 18, "'for I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes.'" Beloved, there were four times that cups were used in the Passover supper. We saw two of them. He takes a cup and uses that first cup in verse 17. Then later, he takes another cup and passes it around and says, "This is my blood. Remember this and do this in remembrance of me." So we saw two of them, but there were four cups. The first cup was a cup of thanksgiving, and it was to demonstrate being set apart for God. All right, do you see the kingdom in that? Being set apart for God. The second cup was a cup of blessing, and it was to be reminded of being free, being set free from the bondage of Egypt, to being set free from the bondage of sin, for us being set free from this world and set free from sin. Do you see the kingdom of God in that? The third cup was a cup of redemption, where they celebrated being redeemed, being purchased. Here he is getting ready to go to the cross, pay the price for all of our sin. And then that fourth cup, I love this, was a cup of praise that you were accepted as God's people. I'm telling you, Jesus is focused on the kingdom. Had they been focused on the kingdom, boy, that would have been an intimate supper, don't you think? I mean, had they been thinking about, we are God's people? I belong to the Lord God. He has set me free from my sin. Wow. I tell you, brothers and sisters, if you want to be intimate with Jesus, well, just spend some time even right now and focus on his kingdom. There is a kingdom coming where he will rule and he will reign. And I'm telling you, this old sinful world and all of its junk will be gone, and we will be with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Reign with him, the scripture says. Boy, that'll make you intimate with Jesus, amen? That'll make you intimate with him. But there's a second truth that I want us to see. And not only do you want to stay kingdom focused so that you not miss his intimacy, but stay Jesus focused. I mean, just keep your focus. When you want intimacy with Jesus and you don't want to miss intimacy when you really need it, just stay focused on him. I want you to see the way Jesus did this. This is so interesting to me. In verse 19 says, "And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it." That word "broke" can also mean to be fractured. He fractured it. Very soon he was going to be fractured on the cross. And so he took that bread and he broke it. And he gave it to them. Now look carefully what he says. "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, that word "me" is emphatic. So when Jesus said that, he would have taken that bread and broke it and gave it to them. So now his hands are empty. He gives the bread to them. He says, "Eat this. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." It wasn't a soft, easy kind of "do this in remembrance of me." "Do this in remembrance of me." And the word "remembrance" there is a verb that means keep on remembering. Don't just do this now at this time and remember. Do this to keep on remembering me. And to remember somebody, beloved, is not just remember their name. It's to remember who they are, what they taught, how they live, their principles. Remember what he said to us. Remember what he promised to us. Some of you knew my father. And my father was a wonderful man, a godly man. And for years, as a pastor, I would get up on Saturday morning, and I'd go to my office. I'd get there about 10 o'clock, and I would get a handful of prospect cards. And from 10 o'clock until about noon, I'd make visits. And I loved that. I did it for years and years and years and years and years. That was just kind of what I did. But before cell phones came around, just before I left my office, I'd call Dad. 10 o'clock, he'd pick up the phone, and his first words were, "Well, are you out among them?" Say, "Yes, sir, I'm getting ready to be." And so every Saturday morning, well, then cell phones came around. Well, then I kind of changed my schedule a little bit. I'd go get me a cup of coffee. I'd go by the office, pick up the prospect cards, decide how I was going to arrange those, make those visits. I'd get in my car and pick up my cell phone, and I'd call Dad, and boy, there were those words. "Are you out among them?" "Yes, sir, I sure am." Now, folks, listen. My dad has been in heaven now for a lot of years. Every Saturday morning around 10 o'clock, I still think, I need to call Dad. Now, why is that true? Because of who he was and what he taught me and how he loved me and how he cared for me and how he stretched me and how he corrected me. See, that's the idea. Jesus isn't just saying, when we take the Lord's Supper, beloved, he isn't just saying to us, "Now remember my name." No, he's saying, "Remember me. Keep on remembering me. Remember what I did. Remember how I gave my life. Remember how I suffered for you. Remember how I took your sin and died on the cross for you. Remember how I took the cup of your sin." Remember, beloved, in the Garden of Gethsemane when he says, "Father, Father, would you, if you could, would you remove this cup from me?" Have you ever thought about that cup? Oh, what was in that? Well, it was all the sin of everyone. All of mine, all of yours, all the wickedness I'd ever thought, all the junk that was ever a part of my life. And he takes the sin of the world, and the scripture says he became sin. That's why on the cross he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Because God cannot look upon sin, and Jesus had become sin, and the Father turned away from him. No wonder he was saying, "Oh, Father, if it could be, could you remove this from me? Could it be?" See, that's what we remember. We remember him. All of his love, and all of his grace, and all of his forgiveness, and all of his care. Remember me. And then he said the same thing with the blood and with the cup. And he says in verse 20, "And in the same way, he took the cup after they'd eaten, saying, 'This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" So in the same way, he's saying, as you remembered me with the bread, remember me with the blood. Remember me. But listen, Jesus was so focused on himself at this point. So focused on what he was doing. And they're not. No wonder they miss that intimacy with Jesus. So I think the truth out of that, beloved, is for you and for me to stay focused on Jesus. He is God. He is the God who forgives. He is the God who redeems. He is the God who cares. He is the God who strengthens. He is God. Remember him and keep on remembering him. See, that's what makes it intimate with him. Now, there's one other truth that I want you to see tonight. And if we want to not miss the intimacy of Jesus, stay kingdom focused, stay Jesus focused, And then finally, stay internally focused. Now that sounds a little arrogant, doesn't it? But I think you'll understand in just a moment. Stay internally focused. Now, I want you to notice how the disciples were externally focused at this time. Now here's Jesus going through this process. Now look at verse 23. Well, let's back up here to verse 21. But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with mine on the table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they begin to discuss among themselves. Now stop right there a moment. That word discuss means to investigate. And they begin to investigate one another. Can you see that? Matthew and Mark give us another little insight into that. When Matthew and Mark tell this part of the story, they both say that the disciples turned to the Lord and said, "Surely not I." Does that sound a little arrogant to y'all? "Surely not I." And then Luke says they were discussing among themselves. They're investigating each other. I kind of picture that as something like this. "Oh, not me. It's probably Peter. We don't like him anyway." Not. And they didn't know it was Judas, because when Jesus tells him, "What you're going to do, go do," and he left, the other disciples just saying, "Where's he going?" So they don't know it's him. And they're investigating one another. "Oh, not me. It's him. Gotta be. I never trusted him anyway. Gotta be the other guy. Not me." And then you go on down to the last verse we read, and there also arose a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be the greatest. It's not me. I'm the greatest. It's not me. He sees me as the greatest. What if this had happened? "Lord, me? Lord, not me. Lord, I don't want to betray you. Oh God, search my heart. Anything needs to change about me, Lord? Oh God, I don't want to be one that would betray you. You think that supper might have ended with a little more intimacy?" Later on, the scripture tells us that Jesus went out in sorrow. No wonder. See, if I want to get real intimate with Jesus, I've got to take God's word and internalize it. "God, what do you want to change about me?" God, as I read through your word and I see things like, "Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you." God, what does that say to me? When I read these amazing things like, "Forgive as you've been forgiven." God, what about me? When he says, "As I am holy, you too should be holy." What about me? "My house shall be a house of prayer." Folks, you understand. Now, please stay with me here. When Jesus said that, he wasn't talking about this building. This isn't his temple. You're his temple. He didn't say, my place called Quail Springs Baptist Church be a house of prayer, although it should be. But if all the temples of God that are in this place right now became temples of prayer, his house would become a house of prayer. He's talking about us. I should be a house of prayer. I should be continually praying. I should see. So you've got to, boy, listen, just imagine what would have happened that night. Imagine the brokenness. Imagine the tears. Imagine the love. Imagine the grace that have been there. Had those disciples just taken those words and made them internal and say, oh God, don't let it be me. Don't let me betray you. God, let me stand with you. Don't let me sell you out. Don't let me fall short. Oh, God, what about me? See, I think we miss the intimacy if we do not stay kingdom-focused, if we do not stay Jesus-focused, and if we're always externally focused, always looking at the other guy and not me. So could we tonight, as God's people, do something with this? You see, beloved, worship is never over until response takes place. That's true if it's my own personal quiet time at home. I'm not through with my quiet time just because I've read the Bible and prayed a little bit. I'm only finished when I found something in God's Word and I responded to it. See, worship is never over just because the amen is said. Worship is only over when we respond. And so, worship requires response. Now, sometimes that response is a public response. Sometimes it's a very quiet, deep response. But there must always be response. And so tonight, I want to give us an opportunity to respond. I love the fact that in this building and in the main worship center, we have all these altar areas. Y'all thought these were stairs, didn't you? This is an altar. That's what this is. It's a place where we come and commit ourselves to Him. A place we come and pray. It's a place we come and acknowledge Him. And maybe tonight, as a result of His Word, we find ourselves saying, boy, I don't want to miss the intimacy of Jesus. And so, Lord, would you cause me to be kingdom focused? Would you cause me, Lord, to be focused on you? And Lord, would you cause your word to always be internalized? And maybe we just want to talk to the Lord about that. Well, in a moment, we're going to have a hymn invitation. Brother Ray will be here. And we're going to sing, and we're going to respond. Maybe you would want to come and just kneel here at these pews or kneel here. Just say, God, would you change me? God, don't let me miss intimacy. I need you in such an intimate way, Lord. I need you in an intimate way. Lord, don't let me miss that. Maybe your response is right there where you'll be standing, but let's respond to Him. I tell you, every time our pastor opens the Word of God, one of the first things we ought to be thinking about is, Lord, teach me so I can respond. Lord, show me so I can respond. So let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And when we do, if you want to come and kneel and pray, you feel free to do that. If you want to come and talk to Ray about something or bring a friend to pray, your husband, your wife, a friend, you do that. But let's never miss an opportunity to respond. You get to the end of these verses and there was Jesus and those disciples just missed the opportunity. Boy, let's never miss an opportunity to respond. Our Father, I bow before you. In the marvelous name of Jesus, Father, I just want to say before my brothers and sisters, I want to be intimately acquainted with you. Lord, I want to be focused on your kingdom and focused on you. And Lord, I want you to change me. Just change me. It's in your wonderful name we pray. Amen. I want us to stand together.